Good morning. I want to welcome our visitors that we have present. We appreciate that you're with us and good to see our number here as we assemble to worship God. I invite you to have your Bible in hand as we will study together from it in just a moment. I want to invite you to consider each of us to earnestly and soberly and carefully consider ourselves and our standing with our God this morning. Understand and know that He knows our very thoughts and intents of the thoughts of our hearts. And so, knowing not only what we think, but why we think what we think, as well as what we do, it is important for each one of us to live before God in honesty, in righteousness, and to correct sin that's in our life. God has sent His Son to die for us so that we can live. If you're not living with God this morning, you need to turn your focus back to Jesus Christ, back to the love of God that's found in Him on the cross, to live for Him because He died for you. In fact, Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Just as Jesus did that, to deny himself the glories of heaven, to become a man and to serve the purposes of God, to die on the cross for you and me. Likewise, we are to yield our selfish will and the sins of our lives to the will of God, to repent of those sins, turn our heart away from those things, and turn our lives back to God. To be baptized in Christ, if you're not a Christian this morning, we urge you to do that upon your confession that Jesus is the Christ, and then to live faithfully to Him as a Christian. If as a child of God you've not been doing that, you've not been practicing righteousness, then we urge you to repent, to confess your sin to God, and to truly devote your life to putting God first, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and to know that therein lie the treasures that can never be taken away. We want to turn our attention tonight to, or this morning, to the matter of how shall the old secure their hearts? From the 71st Psalm that Caleb read a portion of a moment ago. We're familiar with the song, "How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts?" But recently, I think a few months ago, we had occasion on a Wednesday night to briefly talk about some of these things, and I thought we would remind ourselves, as taught in the 71st Psalm, just how appropriate it is for us to ask, how shall the old secure their hearts? That is, how shall the old respond to getting old and living before God and living on this earth, and as we live with age, to live righteously before God. Before we get into that study itself, there was one other thing I overlooked. Sure good to see Rich back home. Glad he's back safely. We've missed him. I know family has as well. It's good to have him again with us. How shall the old secure their hearts? Now, the Bible talks about the value of age. And while we can, I'm sure, make a list of a variety of things about that, I want us to remind ourselves of what the Law of Moses said in Leviticus chapter 19, a couple of places in that verse, of the attitude that you and I are to have toward those who are aged. Now, again, I know aged is relative. I'm an old man to a lot of you here today. But, and I suppose I'm getting there, but, you know, listen to what God's Word says about this. Leviticus 19 and verse 14. "You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Do you see in there that God was teaching Israel that the treatment of those less fortunate, those who are disabled, those who, because of the passing of time, the gathering of years, those who are elderly, are to be so regarded that if we fail to do so, we are failing to fear God. Our treatment of those who are older reflects directly upon whether or not we respect Almighty God. In the same chapter, and verse 32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." In a day and a time when it seems like sometimes those who are or older or pushed aside, God says, do not do that. He says, honor, rise up before the gray head. Honor that person's presence and fear your God. I am the Lord. Again, God links our treatment of the aged to our fear of Him, to our reverence for Him, for our regard for Him in our lives. And so, with that in mind, the Bible says that those who are righteous will bear fruit not only in youth, but also in old age. And that these, among other reasons, constitute why we should give honor and regard. And that if you are aged today, understand that God has a purpose for you. God has a design for your life. It's not over yet. He wants you to be bearing fruit in your life. In Psalm 92 and beginning in verse 12, the Word of God says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. So, as the body grows old, yet He says the aged, who are righteous, bear fruit that is fresh and flourishing. Though the outward man is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. How is that? Paul goes on to say, because we don't look at the things that are temporary. The things that are temporal are passing away, but the things that are eternal abide. And so, in that fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, even though we are experiencing afflictions, they are light in comparison to the weight of glory that awaits us. As he then says, we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Whether in youth or in age, our eyes are to be focused upon heaven. The things that you cannot see and taste and feel. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. There are eternal things. And as we grow older, we live in that borderland between time and eternity. How shall we secure our hearts in that period of time, in that moment of our journey here on this earth, as we surely are passing into the time where there is no more time, into that realm where eternity exists? How shall the old secure their hearts? Let's talk about age for just a moment. Age brings with it challenges. The challenges of the body getting weaker. The challenges of illnesses that perhaps once were occasional, now becoming chronic. In Psalm 90, in verse 10, we're taught, and throughout the Word of God, we understand and know that this is the inevitable reality of living in this world that is cursed by sin, that because of the entrance of sin into this world, in Genesis chapter 3, we know that we're from the dust, this flesh is from the dust, and it will return to the dust. And that as we grow older, all other things being equal, we're going to face those trials of the flesh, those pains, not merely inconveniences, but eventually the things that bring us to our grave. Psalm 90 and verse 10 says that, Psalm 90 and 10th verse, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I do not have to speak to those who are aged of the swiftness of life, of the swiftness of the passing of the years. Perhaps to the young people I do, perhaps it is good to remember now what Solomon said, who long since left this earth. When he said, remember therefore your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Do you understand that as we grow older, very often those who are aged struggle within themselves with enjoying life when there is no more pleasure in the days? And so the admonition is, remember God when you're young. Set your house in order early. Remember your Creator. So that as age comes, as in Ecclesiastes, that same chapter, the 12th chapter, after exhorting young people to remember their Creator, he says, understand that you need to remember God now, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. As he then goes into this dissertation on aging, on the body growing old until it returns to dust. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, when our hands and our arms are not strong in legs, the strong men bow down. When the grinders cease because they are few, when our teeth aren't what they used to be, when those that look through the windows grow dim, when our eyesight gradually gets worse and worse, those who are aged face these realities and deal with these truths in their lives. It can put the person who does not choose righteousness, it can put them in a position of bitterness and resentment. Instead, as he goes on, we won't take time to read through all of that passage, but understand and see that Solomon is saying, no, the body grows weak, the body grows tired, the body grows old, and the body dies, and the body returns to dust. Are you ready for that? Oh no, I'm 25 years, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm vigorous, I'm young. I was too once. Now I'm 55. Some of you were too once, and now you're 70 or 75. God's blessed you with age. What are you going to do with it? So, you don't know. I wake up, I hurt. I go to bed, I hurt. I know that. I understand that. I have empathy. Perhaps not as much now as I will if the Lord gives me another 20 years. But at least I'm sympathetic. It's going to happen to us all if we have life. My point is, not just that we have physical weakness, but with what attitude are we going to live? With what faith are we going to live as we face those realities? Now, the point I did want to make before I moved on is, those things must not be an overwhelming discouragement. We cannot be, and I exhort you and encourage you not to be overwhelmed by such things, because you, as a Christian of age, look at the things that are not seen. You live for the things that are eternal. You understand that this body is wearing out, and you understand you have a home built by God that is eternal in the heavens. And so you live by faith. As we grow older, time and the time of old age increasingly becomes a time of solitude in many cases. As you grow older, you often find yourself a stranger in the world. It feels like the world's passing you by. I know where I grew up and in other places I was familiar with, things change. They do wherever you are. I remember cotton fields are now subdivisions. You know? What once was a pasture is now a high rise. Your contemporaries precede you in death. Perhaps a beloved husband or wife. Loneliness and isolation can set in. And again, the question is, how shall you secure your heart? How shall you have firmness of faith with the realities of the solitude that age brings? Again, the call from God and His Word is, I will in no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you. so that with good courage we may say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do to me? And so the call of the gospel is to not allow those realities of age overwhelm, discourage, or bring you to despair, but continue to trust in God. 1.2 here again for us younger folks. We need to be sensitive to these trials in those who are aged. We need to recognize and understand that. We need to learn. We need to rise up before the gray head and give honor. We need to not put a stumbling block before the blind or the deaf. We need to fear God by so doing. But the coming of age is the coming of a solemn time if one is living in righteousness, if one is perceptive and will deal honestly with reality, it becomes a reflective time because one understands and knows time on this earth is shorter now than it was when he or she first began. In Proverbs 16 and 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. I want to assure you that with the passing of age comes honor and glory, a crown, not a shackle of decrepitation. One's viewpoint of life in age, will it not reflect one's viewpoint of eternity? Will it not reflect one's understanding of the temporary nature of life and the approaching eternity? In Proverbs 20 and 29, again, the Word of God says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. So, don't complain at me too much about my gray head. It's my crown. It's my splendor. Right? Understand. You see, we all grow old. And in it, there ought to be honor. There ought to be an understanding that we're getting closer to what life is really all about. And that's leaving this one and entering into glory. So how is it then? How is it that the old shall secure their hearts? Let's look at Psalm 71 for just a few minutes. Learn some of the lessons from this prayer of the aged ones. I think as you study through and read through the whole psalm, you're impressed with the fact that it is a prayer. And that this is the first way that the psalmist would secure his heart and exhort us in age to do the same. Because you see, in age can come regrets, can come bitterness, can come anger, can come all sorts of wrong things if we yield to those temptations. But the psalmist would not yield. He would pray for God's help. Verses 1 through 4. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. That is, rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. That is, hear my prayer. Listen to me, O God. Be my refuge, my strong refuge, my rock of habitation. Be the one to whom I flee and the one who gives me protection. As the widow in the parable of Luke 18, when Jesus was teaching His followers to pray always and not to faint. The widow who repeatedly went to the judge asking for justice, pleading for justice, till finally He gives it because she would not relent. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith in the aged one? Faith in you as you grow older to rely upon the Lord more and more. Reflected in your prayer, reflected in your trust, in your faith. He is petitioning God for deliverance and for safety. And He is very willing, as you read through this, to exercise that faith. For His life, or to be an expression of that faith. As it had been in youth, so He has determined that it will be in age. Now understand, if in youth you set a course of your life and a pattern that is not one of faith, it's not like flipping a switch. When I hit 50, then I'll be faithful to God, but until then I've got a lot of living to do. It doesn't work that way. We talked about that a little bit in class this morning. It doesn't work that way. You don't know if you'll have tomorrow, but you see, if you set a course away from God, you think that you can just flip a switch and turn back to Him? Well, it's possible if you'll be like the prodigal who came to himself, but you've got to come to yourself. Why not be wise in the matter? Why not be wise and say and set that course for God now in youth, so that in age you continue to rely upon God? You continue to trust in Him. That's what the psalmist would do in his age. He would pray. You see that prayer continuing in verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. The strength of the young man is his glory, the proverb said. You know, when you're young, you're strong, you're strapping, take on the world. Then you realize the world's a little bigger than you are. You get a little older, a little slower, a little weaker. See, the point is whether in youth or in old age, rely upon the Lord. Trust Him. Pray to Him. He hears and He answers His children who will live their faith and rely upon Him. And so you see that focus of the psalmist. He would trust in the Lord. Look at verse 7. We've already read a number of these elements. He says in verse 7, I have become a wonder to many, but You are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Your praise, with Your glory all the day. He would trust God. Look at Psalm 9 with me in verses 9 and 10. The ninth psalm, I believe this is a psalm of David. And it says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know Your name will put their trust in You. For You, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You." As we get older, to have that surety, that certainty, that by relying on the Lord, He will not forsake us. He will not abandon us, because He has spoken. He has said that it will be so, and it is so. And so the psalmist said, as I get older and I face the realities of that age, I will trust You, O Lord. You see, the harsh reality is there are people in this world who mistreat and abuse and take advantage of those who are aged. Telephone scams, internet scams. They try to take advantage of the weak. There's always those who do that. And there are people who do that toward the aged. They fear not God. They do not honor the aged. This man, this psalmist, faced some of that reality. Verse 10, "My enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him. There's none to deliver him. He's weak. He can't fight back." And so people take advantage of the aged today that way, robbing them of their money, robbing them of their dignity, robbing them of their souls. You secure your hearts by trusting in a God who says He will right every wrong and He will address every evil person and He will not abandon you nor forsake you. God is not far away. Look at verse 12. "O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me." There are those who would hurt me, harm me, take advantage of me. And yet this aged man will continue to rely upon God. who does not forsake His people. Psalm 37:25, David wrote, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. God is not far away. The old need to secure their hearts, trusting God, keeping His Word. Look at Isaiah 46:3-4 before we go to the next point. Isaiah 46:3. Isaiah wrote, listen to me, and of course this is God speaking to His people. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am He. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. God assures His people Israel that from birth to death and all along the way, through the period of age, He is the one bearing them up. He is the one sustaining them. You see, they had to put their faith in Him. He had not left them. They had left Him. He is calling upon them to recognize who He is and to rely upon Him every moment, even into old age, even to the moment of death. Trust in the Lord. That's how you secure your hearts. How shall the old secure their hearts? There's an element of hope that comes into play. The psalmist, in his praying to God and his trusting in God, had a firm hope. He had he knew his God. He knew that when God spoke and when God acted, he had every reason to expect good by living a righteous life. Verse 5, you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. And again in verse 14, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Hope is a desire and expectation. That is what anchors our soul. A hope both sure and fed and steadfast that enters within the veil, into the presence of God Himself, because God has spoken and God does not lie. God has promised redemption in His Son. God has promised an inheritance for the faithful. It is our anchor. It secures you in age. Hope continually. What does that mean practically? Well, it means you wait on the Lord. Whether you're young or you're old, you keep the faithful patience to continue to endure whatever life brings, and to endure the physical trials that surely come, to not be overwhelmed by them, to understand their place in the bigger scheme, to keep your focus set upon Jesus and upon the realities of eternal glory after the pain of the moment ends. And it will. It will. You keep your hope in the Lord. Look at verse 19. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O Lord, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Here he has endured the affliction of enemies. He has endured the failing of health. He has trusted the Lord to protect. He has continued to hope because he knows the greatness of his God. And he knows God will not abandon him. God had seen him through great trials in the past, and he would sustain him and comfort him on every side. Seeing God's power and mercy in those trials secures him for the present. Paul had lived that. When he stood before Caesar, he said, in my first defense, no one stood by me. May it not be laid to their accounts. He said, but the Lord stood by me deliver me from the mouth of the lion, and He will deliver me from every evil work. He was about to die, but He said, God's going to deliver me. That's how you secure your heart in age. You know the deliverance of God brings you through a present moment of trial to an eternal glory. Your hope is set. It will not be deterred. That's how you secure your heart. That's how you and I are to at any age. Simeon in Luke 2, an aged prophet of God who saw the baby, Jesus, at the temple, is one who typifies and illustrates this point. It says in Luke 2 and 25, there was a certain man in Jerusalem named Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, that is, waiting for the hope of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. He had hope for Israel. God had spoken, and now God was fulfilling His word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the faces of all peoples, a light to be revelation to the Gentiles, glory of your people Israel. Simeon blessed them. Verse 33, after his parents marveled at these things that were spoken of him, Simeon said, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against, yes, the sword will pierce through your own soul, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Simeon is living for the hope of Israel. You do that as an aged Christian. God will bless you. I've got to hurry on. How shall the old secure their hearts? By speaking of God's righteousness. That's what Psalm 71 says. He says that He would speak of the righteousness of God. He would be an effective teacher of the things of God. 15, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. You, because of your age, can be an effective teacher of the things of God. The question is, will you allow that to be so? Will you allow the passing of age to bring with it that which you ought to acquire? The acquiring of the experience tempered and molded by truth to produce wisdom in your life. Elihu did not speak immediately before Job. He allowed Job's three older friends to speak, but they did not speak wisdom. And he said, age ought to speak. Age ought to be a valid word, a wise word. If you're living in righteousness, it will be so. Aged Christian, that's not the time to stop teaching. That's not the time to say, let others do the teaching. Shall I tell you of Bernice Boyce, who lives in Lake Elsinore, California, who talks to a chiropractor and her table man and anybody else that she meets, the gospel of Jesus? Or shall I tell you of, is it Sister Ruth in Tennessee, who is approaching, if not now, 100 years old, just turned 100, in assisted living, I believe. She takes our bulletins because somebody else of some age mails them to her. And she uses those to teach others the gospel. Please do not, when you get old and older, say, my teaching is done. Oh no. You're in the most fruitful time of teaching if your years have been lived in faith and growth and maturity in the Word of God. You see, you are equipped, you are positioned to flourish and be fruitful, even in old age. He would speak of God's righteousness, you see. And so Anna was a widow of 84 years old in Luke, the second chapter, and yet she was teaching anyone who would listen. Anyone who would listen, she was teaching. Do you see that? That's what I'm talking about. She with prayer and fasting had devoted her life to the service of God. And it says there verse 37, she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all who looked for the redemption, looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She spoke of Him. She spoke of Him. How do you secure your heart? You speak of God's righteousness. How do you secure your heart? You tell the next generation of God's works. In Psalm 71, 17 and 18, he said, O God, You've taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare Your wondrous works. He had been a young man who had been taught the things of God. But now I am old and gray-headed. O God, do not forsake me until I declare Your strength to this generation, Your power to everyone who has come. You secure your heart, older Christian, by teaching the next generation. You leave a spiritual legacy. A spiritual legacy. Psalm 78, 1 through 8. That's the legacy that we want to leave. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline my ears to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. Telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He's done. You secure your heart by teaching your children, your grandchildren, bring to bear the influence of righteousness. Oh yes, they make their choices. They'll decide. They'll not always appreciate that legacy. God help them to, because you do. Because you value it, you live it. May they see the greater value. May you tell them what He has done and tell of His mighty work. That's how you secure your heart. You do the teaching. God will give the increase. How do you secure your heart? He would praise God always. The psalmist throughout is a psalm of prayer and praise. You see it. Let's jump on down to 23 and 24 near the end. He says, "My lips shall," or 22, "with the lute I will praise You and Your faithfulness, O my God. To You I'll sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will greatly rejoice when I sing to You, my soul, which You have redeemed." You see, he'd been saved by his God. He'd been redeemed by the Lord. And now he's going to praise God for it. He's not going to say, "Oh, now I'm aged. I just don't have any joy in that anymore." He got great joy out of worshiping and praising His God. That's a way to secure your heart. "My tongue shall talk of Your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek My hurt." He would speak of God's power, of God's salvation, of God's redemption. He would praise God for these things. Anna did not part from the temple. She did not depart the temple back there in Luke 2. What a glorious, joyful encouragement it is to see aged Christians assemble with the saints to worship God, to do what they can do, to be there to worship and to encourage and to exhort and to provoke to love and good works. Not to say, "I'm hurting," and stay home. Oh, I know, I understand there's physical ailments. We appreciate that and realize that. There are ailments at times that prevent such things. But we are talking about as we are aged and we have the ability and the capability, but to choose rather not to praise God cannot bring honor to our God, can it? Cannot be securing our heart, does it? It does not strengthen one's faith when they could but don't, does it? Oh, you see, the devil wants you whether you're young or whether you're old. He wants you. He does not want you, aged Christian, to secure your heart in faith and praise and obedient service. And so you must, as God urges you, you must continue to trust and rely upon the Lord, follow His will, to be in your place in God. There's a place in God's service for us. We sing that song sometimes, don't we? There's room in the kingdom. There's a place in the service of God for you, aged Christian. Older men are taught in Titus 2 to be sober and reverent and temperate, sound in faith and love and patience, to not develop in older years those attitudes of mind and practice in life that destroys a good influence. Older women, likewise, are to be sober, reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not enslaved to much wine, but teachers of good things, admonishing the young women. You see, you have a place. God has made a place for you in the kingdom. Aged man, aged woman, aged Christian. And that place is important. It's needed. We need it. We need you, and you need to be there. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock. And there's no unrighteousness in Him. Peter said, if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is blind, having forgotten his cleansing from his old sin. Therefore, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. But thus shall be supplied to you entrance into the eternal kingdom. You live on the borderland of eternity. Will you secure your heart? We all are just a breath away from it, whether young or old. Let us, as young people, commit ourselves to such a life, and as aged ones, devote our attention to a heart that is given to God and a life that depends upon Him and, as a result, influences those around us. The gospel is calling you to be saved. The gospel is calling you to stand with God, to stand with Jesus, and to live for Him. To become a Christian this morning, or as a child of God, to repent of every sin, live for Him first and always. If we can help you accomplish that, please come while we stand and sing.